Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is...
I think with the preparation I've done tonight, I better just say Larry. We better not throw the doctor in there.
It's going to be great. Don't go there. This will be glorious.
Well, I think it's important to take the most two most important events in history and just be totally unprepared to talk about it. I think that's how we should do this. And it would be easy, Steve. Like, we could just pull up the scriptures and read them. But because the way I wanted to talk about it, it jumps around so much, and that's the thing. I might still ask you to read here and there if I get a chance.
Okay.
So what we're talking about this morning is Palm Sunday to Easter Monday.
Oh.
So we're talking about the week, what happened. And in readings in many churches, Anglican Church, I don't know about Catholic, but I'm sure they do, Presbyterians, they actually have daily readings and preparation for every day in this week, right?
Yep.
And I remember Lynn told me that she wanted something for the 4 weeks preceding or leading up to Easter. And so we did the divinity of Jesus. And then we did the humanity of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And last week we did kenosis, so Jesus emptying himself. Yep. And we talked about what the possibilities are there. And that he was the king. And that he rode into Jerusalem as the king. And that was Palm Sunday. And I love that part, Steve, because I don't think the Chosen did anything with Palm Sunday. But there's a part of me that when I think about Palm Sunday, I think about this TV series, The Chosen. And I still picture Jesus riding in on the donkey, the disciples cluing into what's going on, the crowd cluing in, and all of a sudden they're going, oh yeah. And I can even picture them like bunting each other in the shoulder. Hey, this is it, boys.
Our king is here, right?
Our king is here, and we are the guys.
Yeah.
Like, he is the king, and... you know, who sits on his right and left? We talked about that with Mom.
Yeah.
And and she talked to Jesus, and he said, it's none of your business, in a very diplomatic way, because you'd expect Jesus to be diplomatic.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Yeah. But now he's riding in on Palm Sunday, and he's making the statement to everybody. You thought I was a king. I totally am a king. Best day of their lives. Mm-hmm. And we're going to work out a week later, and they're going to enter the worst day of their lives. Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird? And it happens to us too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Best day, worst day.
Yeah, mountaintop and valley experiences, right?
Unbelievably close together.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like the white squall you get on a ship. They say if you're on a boat, they always tie off, because a white squall will hit you so fast and you are so unprepared. It'll take you right off the ship and kill you. Mm-hmm. And I think life is like that. Mm. You know, everything's going great, and you get a phone call and everything changes.
Yeah, so true. Yeah. So true.
But the events of the week, Steve. So, and I'm not a big fan of this kind of a thing, because the Gospels are really not chronological. Mm. Like, they're talking about events in Jesus' life. And people will say, but they show up differently, particularly John is not chronological, but they show up in different places. And so when you get to the last week, people are very specific about the stuff that Jesus was doing. And I'm not sure that works out.
Yeah.
And particularly on the Friday. So Friday, we're entering the Passover. So by 6 o'clock in the evening, you know, that's the, you know, when the Sabbatists do their thing.
Yeah.
Remember at Trinity, we had Sabbatists. Do you remember that?
No.
So if you were a Sabbatist, that meant you, like Friday at 6 was the beginning of your Sabbath, right? Until Saturday at 6. And so if we had an evening exam on Friday or a day exam on the Saturday, if you're a Sabbatist, you didn't have to take it. You could postpone for free. And people would come to me and say, I'm a Sabbatist, I can't do it. And they would ask me, as the registrar, they'd say, well, how do you prove the person's a Sabbatist? I said, you know, I pretty much just take them at their word. I have no idea. If they want a free pass on the exam for one day, let them have it.
So be it.
Yeah, so be it. So, but the whole idea of being a Sabbatist is that you worship on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath, again, is Friday night 6 till Saturday night, right?
Yep.
6. And the Jewish day, they always say it starts at 6 in the morning. So if they say the third hour, that's 9 o'clock in the morning. So that's kind of the way it works. But the way this week goes, like if you just grab anything off the internet, right?
Yeah.
And you look at it and it'll say, so on the Sunday is Palm Sunday. That was the going into town. And then on the Monday, he wakes up in Bethany. He goes, starts to go towards Jerusalem, right? On the Monday, curses the fig tree.
Yep.
You remember the fig tree is doesn't have any figs and he curses it?
Yep.
Jesus got mad too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, rotten fig tree. I curse you. So looking forward to a fig this morning.
Nope.
You know? Yeah. I can't wait for the day when Fig Newtons come along. And then he goes into the temple. And of course, this is also, they say, is on the Monday, right? He goes into the temple and Jesus goes into worship. And he's finding the people buying and selling, and they're not doing horribly wrong things, by the way, but they're changing money, you know, from different currencies, because there's all different currencies, and they're buying and selling stuff, and they're selling. So you used to bring your sacrifice in when you wanted to worship God. You'd bring your sacrifice with you.
Okay.
Well, somebody got smart and said, well, why don't we just like have a feed lot? And we'll grow a lot of sheep. And when they come in, we can sell them cheap, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, so you just go and you buy a sheep because there were, you know, the farming thing was getting to be just slightly less and right. Life changes.
Right.
But they were ripping people off. They were turning it into a market. And Jesus got so angry that he makes the rope whip and he drives people out. There's got to be some kind of power there for him to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he's mad. And I love that. I love that Jesus can get mad. I read a thing, Steve, that I just really liked. And it said, don't teach your children not to get angry. Teach them how to deal with anger.
Hmm.
And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Paul said that, didn't he? Get angry, but don't sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we see that, you know, God had anger in the Old Testament too. So it's not out of character.
Yes. But he didn't sin because he's God and he can't.
Right.
But he did some pretty rough things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, he knows the whole thing, and we don't. So then he leaves the city, and then you get into Tuesday, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a couple things happen. So he has these debates in Jerusalem. So by now he's in Jerusalem, and he's having the debates. That was the other thing that movie, The Chosen, did for me. I always had trouble figuring out how Peter was married to a woman. And yet went off with Jesus for 3 years and never saw her. Hmm. But Chosen kind of showed you that, no, they were home all the time. Like they went off and did stuff.
Right.
But they were home all the time. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't gone for 3 years.
Right.
Right. And then Jesus does his thing on the Mount of Olives. When he sits on the Mount of Olives and they tell us the sign of the end of the age. And Jesus tells them these different parables about the end of the age. So the 10 virgins, you remember five were foolish, five were smart.
Yep.
The five foolish ones used up their lamps and the five smart ones, you know, kept enough oil that when the bridegroom came, they could go to the party.
Yep.
Right. And then there's the sheep and the goats and the talents. And he tells all of those different stories at that point in time. And then he goes back to Bethany. These places aren't that far apart.
Okay.
Right. So he goes back to Bethany. And then this is where they think Judas agrees to betray Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not right in Bethany, but Judas is off. Judy is off.
So this is Tuesday, just to keep that clear, right?
Yes. We're still on Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay.
And so Judas, so look at, it's almost too compact for me.
Hmm.
You know, I struggle with the amount of events that are all happening in this time.
Hmm.
But anyway, he goes and he sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, which we know is the price of a slave,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of stuff. And then Wednesday comes. So now Tuesday's over, Wednesday comes. And now this one's pretty simple. He, you know, it's just Jesus going around teaching, doing his thing. So it's a fairly normal day. He's in the temple. He spends time near the Mount of Olives. The Sanhedrin, therefore, in the scripture, this is where they start to plot to kill Jesus. And remember, some of the scholars think that Jesus brought his own death upon himself. Like consciously and willingly did things to make them kill him.
Oh, okay. I get you.
Yeah. And I disagree with that. I don't think that he was asking to be a martyr. I think the things he did caused his martyrdom. He had to do those things, but I don't think he was saying, hey, what, I wonder what I could do to get them to kill me. I don't think he knew it was coming.
Yeah.
But I just don't see that. And then Thursday now, so after Sunday, now you're at Thursday. And Thursday is called Maundy Thursday. And I forgot to look it up. And Maundy means sorrowful or mourning, I think. And I know you're going to look that up while I keep talking. I know you well enough. I know you well enough for that. So on the Thursday, this is where they prepare for the Passover. So they're getting ready for the Passover meal, which the Jewish people do every year. You remember the Passover meal had to do with them leaving Egypt, right?
Yeah.
And God said to them, I want you to cook some food, some bread, make some bread, but don't use any leaven in it.
Okay.
Make unleavened bread. I want you to eat crackers, you know? I think there's no leaven in crackers. Soda biscuits, things like that. No, it's just an unleavened bread. And remember, they would put the blood on the lintels of their doors and stuff. And the Jewish people did that always as a remembrance of what was happening.
Right.
And when the angel of death came and he saw the blood on the lintels, he knew not to kill the kids in that house.
Mm-hmm.
But he would kill the kids, the firstborn, in all the houses that didn't have blood on the lintels. So there actually used to be a show. It was poorly done. Yeah, theologically, it wasn't strong. But it was called Touched by an Angel, but it was a great show.
Yep.
And they have the angel of death, and he's really a nice guy. He's got long kind of blondish hair, and he's really nice. And it's Thanksgiving, and he can't kill the turkey. And they're going, you're the angel of death, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I know, but look at him. I can't kill him. So anyway, this is Passover. This is the Thursday. What did Maundy mean? What did you find?
Maundy, it celebrates Jesus washing the feet of the disciples.
Well, I think that would be mournful and sad.
Yeah.
Okay, so just so you know, Dr. Van Beek wasn't even close on Maundy Thursday. But Pancake Tuesday, I am on top of Pancake Tuesday. Or Fish Friday.
Yeah.
I'm on top of that. Yeah, but Maundy Thursday, I missed out on. Oh, that's too bad. So then they have their meal, and at noon he gathers with the Jewish people for the sacrifice. Later on in the day, 3 p.m., the sacrifice of the Passover lambs begin, lasting till about 5, and then they go for the meal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then at sundown, the festival of unleavened bread starts. And then in the evening, he gathers with the disciples and washes their feet.
There we go.
Maundy Thursday,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it at all, but that's okay. I don't have to.
It's a French word for mandate, by the way.
For mandate?
Yeah, it's an old word, French word for mandate or command.
You think it would come from the Latin. What are the French doing getting involved with this?
I don't know. I know not.
And now they eat the Passover meal together. And that's the one, of course, when they're all sitting on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But Leonardo da Vinci chose to put them at a table.
Yeah.
For some reason, he wanted them all to sit on one side.
Yeah.
That's right. On the table.
What are you all looking at? I don't know.
I don't know. We're all looking at the same thing here, guys. And so they're all eating that Last Supper together. Hmm. And the thing that really happens is Jesus says, one of you will betray me, and they actually don't know who it is. That's kind of interesting, eh?
Yeah.
They don't know who it is. Judas has been with them. we all know that it's him.
Yeah.
Because we've been told that for our entire Christian lives. Right. But they don't know who it is. And they actually wonder if it's themselves, which is interesting enough.
Yes.
Remember, Peter's about to betray him in a very short time.
Yeah.
But they eat that meal together. And then Judas leaves the room. And it says that Judas takes the bread. Satan enters him. Interesting, eh?
Yes.
Satan enters him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Jesus, doesn't Jesus respond with, go do what you need to do, or go do
what you're about to do quickly.
Do quickly, that's right.
And they thought it was something to do with he needed to pay for something, and Jesus was saying, yeah, you better get out there to do it.
Yeah.
They still didn't clue in
yeah.
to what was happening. And then Judas, yeah, that's so interesting that you'd say that. And they thought he was going to do something to give to the poor, but he was actually going out to betray Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, go ahead and do that. Hmm. It is time. Yeah. Mm. And then you get the garden where Jesus is in the garden. And when Jesus is praying in the garden, and for Lynn, for my wife, Lynn, she thinks for her, this is actually the most agonizing piece of the whole thing. Mm. Not the death on the cross, not the carrying the cross, not the whippings, not the beatings, but the pleading with God to remove this. Mm. And then finally having to say, okay,
yeah,
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Crazy, eh?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And him literally perspiring blood, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They said sweat as drops of blood. So whether it was actual blood or whether it was like it, I don't know. I think it was actual blood, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure, but it was the intensity was crazy. And then going back to the disciples and saying, you know, can't you stay up and pray with me? Mm-hmm. Isn't that the same place? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he finally lets him go to sleep and he finishes.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, and isn't there a point where even one of the texts says that an angel comes and ministers to him?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Comforts him even at that point.
Well, because the disciples are all asleep.
Yeah, that's right.
The disciples, that's Larry and Steve, man.
You know, sorry.
Yeah, I was totally into it, but by 7:30, I'm done.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's right, eh? So, and the finally, and that's the humanity of Jesus coming through so strongly, just pleading with God. God, please, please don't do this. Like, there's got to be, you got to have another way. And he knows there's no other way.
Right.
But he still emotionally is doing the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he's arrested by the temple guard, right?
Yeah.
That's where Peter cuts the guy's ear off.
Yeah.
You give Peter a sword, you know, cuts the guy's ear off.
Bad things are going to happen. Let's face facts.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's like Barney, you know, just give him one bullet, make him keep it in his pocket.
Yeah, that's right.
don't give sharp objects to this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always find that part even ironic, too, because Jesus reaches up and heals his ear, too.
Yes.
And they let him do that.
Yeah. And you'd like to know, you need a guy who wrote Chosen to tell you, to give you not the backstory, but the going forward story on mm-hmm. that. Like, did that guy turn his life over to God? Because mm-hmm. he, or did he go, I thought it was gone, but it's still here somehow.
Yeah.
You know how you kind of justify that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Jesus is after the soldiers. Now, this is the part where I really have a hard time. Well, once we get to Friday. So first he's taken to Annas, mm-hmm. right? That's the high priest. Remember, there were a joint high priest at that time.
Right.
And then Caiaphas, who was the other one. And then from Annas' house, they go to Caiaphas. Caiaphas condemns them. And then now they're ready to put him to death. But that's when they say, you know, our laws don't allow it. We've got to kind of bring him to Pilate. Mm. And I'm not sure I've heard different things saying they actually could have if they wanted to, right? But it wouldn't have fulfilled. If they had killed him, it wouldn't have fulfilled the cross prophecies.
Right.
So then it's dawn the next day, then and he's brought he's brought out. The high priest approves the selection of the lamb and all that stuff. So all of that stuff happens. But the more important thing is now we're on Death Friday, Passover is coming. And Jesus is taken by Caiaphas and them, and he's brought to Pilate. And Pilate is the Roman governor. So later on, remember, Paul is between is to Festus and then to Felix, Felix and Festus.
Okay. Yep.
They were the governors at that time. Pilate was the governor at this time. Jerusalem at this point in time was an imperial state because they had imperial and senatorial states. Senatorial states meant that they were getting along with Rome. It was peaceful. Everything was good. Imperial meant that they would have a contingent of Roman soldiers there to keep the peace.
Okay.
So the peace is kept by force. Yep. And Pilate is the guy. And Pilate, you get these weird impressions that he kind of wants to get along with them, but he doesn't know how. Right? And his remember his wife says to him, you know, had this dream. There's this guy coming. Don't do anything to him.
Yeah.
And then Jesus comes. He's like, oh, man. And he and Pilate actually tries to get them to let him go and says, look, I'll let you let one go. And they go, well, let Barabbas go, you know. And then so then they keep Jesus. And then he's like, oh, crap. I was hoping.
Yeah.
I was so hoping. I don't care about Barabbas. I'll kill him myself.
Yeah.
You know, for sport. But yeah. But this Jesus thing, this is not going to end well.
Yeah.
And the thing that see now the people that I've been reading for some reason don't mention him sending him to Herod. And I'm sure they sent Jesus to Herod.
Oh, yeah. They did. Yeah. Because remember, Herod was hoping that he would do some sort of sign in front of him.
That's right. And that's actually, he says, you know, do a sign. And do you remember, you probably don't remember this because we're not supposed to watch it, but in Jesus Christ Superstar, in the song, Herod goes, prove to me that you're no fool, walk across my swimming pool. And you're like, swimming pool? But Herod had a swimming pool. But the swimming pool was in his place, in his place in the dead, by the Dead Sea.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember, Masada.
Yes.
In Masada, the Jewish people held up in Herod's summer house, and that's where they were. And so he had all that stuff. Oh yeah, he was a true lush of a king.
Yeah, that's right.
Unfortunately, I think Stephen and I that you and I would have got along with him.
Yeah,
that we would have liked him. He seems so likable. He kills people, but yeah. You know, he's a pretty good guy otherwise. And so for me, the struggle that I had was putting all of these events in one day, because all in one day he goes, there's the Caiaphas thing the night before. Caiaphas takes him the next day or with the priests. They take him to Pilate. Pilate says, you know, go to see Herod. He goes to Herod. He won't do anything fun for Herod, and Herod gets ticked off, right? And right. Herod had a lot of power. He was a king.
Yeah.
And trying to think which Herod this was at this point. Was this Agrippa? I forgot to check, because there was Herod the Great, Herod Agrippa, you know, Herod Antipas. Might have been it, but I can't remember which one. Do you want to check that?
Yeah.
Well, and I'll just keep rambling on here.
I'm trying to think where I'd...
Yeah. So the Herods, Herod the Great was, that guy was a genius. He killed people. They said it was better to be his pig than his son. But he was a genius. The other Herods weren't nearly as smart as that one. Thank you. Yeah.
There it is.
Herod Antipas. It was Antipas then.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was Agrippa or Antipas. I should have known. Anyway, so then he goes to Herod. And then Herod sends him back to Pilate. Pilate tries again to do something to, like, do you not? Remember, this is where Jesus is not saying anything.
Yeah.
And he's saying, will you not speak to me? I hold your life in my hands. And Jesus doesn't say anything. And eventually he says, you know, they say you're a king. And he says, you say that I am. Right? And then Pilate finally gives up. And then the soldiers take him, right? And they're just fooling around.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, Pilate has them whipped. So they whip them 39 times. It's always one less than 40, because I think 40 was the maximum. So you do one less just in case you lost count, you know, because that would be bad. So they whip them and they say it's a cat of nine tails. It would tear you so you can't even recognize you anymore. Either way, it would tear you so you can't recognize you anymore. Yeah. And then they put the crown of thorns. They make a crown. Oh, you're wow. They were ruthless guys, eh?
Yeah.
Those soldiers. The soldiers were completely brutal. The Greek soldiers, yeah, they were brutal too. Soldiers, you know, brutality. They put the crown on his head. They mock him. They bow before him. They treat him so terribly bad. And then from there, then he's picking up the cross and going. So there's so many events happening in this one day, right? You know, you're to Pilate, you're with Caiaphas, you're to Pilate, you're over to Herod, you're back to Pilate, you're with the soldiers. They're fooling around doing their horrible,
yeah,
horrible games with you. They're rolling dice. They roll dice because he had a really nice cloak. And they rolled dice for his cloak, and somebody won, you know. I wonder if he wore it the next day for fun. And they're doing all of this stuff to Jesus, and now he's carrying the cross, and he's heading off, mm-hmm, to the place, to the Golgotha,
to
the
Golgotha,
place of the skull.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. And he's walking, and he's so torn and beaten that he can't keep going. And so the Roman soldier reaches out to some guy named Simon of Cyrene, mm-hmm, and they mention him by name, which is interesting because I don't even know why they would know his name. Like, you know, did someone write that down? Who was it that took the cross? Oh, Simon Cyrene did it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we need to give him a couple of shekels for helping us out. And he carried the cross,
yeah,
for Jesus. And then they get to the place, the hill outside of Jerusalem. And then they nail Jesus to it. And I think they nailed them all. In every movie I see, they nail Jesus, but they rope everybody else on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a possibility too. The funny thing about the cross, or the odd thing about the cross, you never say funny, I guess, with the cross, is that actually anything you do to hurt them is actually an easier death than the actual death on the cross.
Right, right.
Because it takes so long to die on a cross.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's a day anyway,
yep,
or longer. And we talked about this before, right? Everything dries out, your eyes dry out, your mouth dries out, everything dries out, and you can't breathe because everything's pushing down on your lungs. And the only way sometimes you can catch a breath is you can push up with your legs a little bit, and that takes the pressure off so that you can get another breath. And people prolong their lives that way, but you're actually prolonging your life. So when Peter later on said, you know, would you crucify me upside down? Beautiful sentiment. I will not die the way my master died. But actually, he would die very quickly if they crucified him upside down.
Right.
And so in a sense, it's merciful.
Yeah, yeah.
But Jesus dies. He's on the cross with the guys. The one guy mocks him and says, you know, if you are who you are, like, why don't you release us?
Yeah.
You know, and the other guy says, oh, you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know squat.
Yeah, you don't know squat. And Jesus, you know, and Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's you're getting on into the evening now. I forgot the time of day. So you've been on, how long were they on the cross? Did we say? Did anything say?
No.
Yeah.
Well, hang on a second. Didn't it say about what hour?
Yeah, so they crucify, Jesus was crucified on the altar of the cross. They think about 9 a.m., about the third hour, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, about the third hour.
Right, and he was on the cross for 6 hours until 3 p.m. And about 3 p.m., they're starting to say, look, Passover's coming. We can't do anything with them come Passover at 6 o'clock. So let's get them down. I don't know why the Romans would care about that, but the Jews did. Let's get them down off the cross. I guess because they were Jewish citizens, eh?
Mm.
And let's get them down. And that's when they break their legs at that point. Now, they wouldn't normally, but because it's Passover and they want them to die quickly, they break their legs so that they slump down and then suffocate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no way to say this nicely, is there? Mm. Like, I mean, there's just no way.
Yeah, it's just the most horrific death.
It is at least one of the most,
yep,
you know? Yeah, it's, you know, the word excruciating actually comes from the pain of a cross.
Mm.
Yeah. So so then they get to Jesus and they go to break his legs, and I don't know why they even cared, but one guy looked and went, oh, I think he's already dead. Oh, let me see. And the other guy took a spear and shoved it in his side, and out came, was it water and blood?
Yep.
I think so. Out came water and blood, and he went, no, he's dead. And again, it says that was to fulfill a prophecy that not a bone would be broken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of a weird prophecy, really, where you're like, what difference does that make?
Yeah.
Well, the only difference it makes is to say they prophesied what was going to happen, and it happened just the way they said.
Yeah.
This guy really is the Son of God.
Yeah.
Because he fulfilled all of these things.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And then Joseph of Arimathea puts him in his tomb.
Right.
Yeah. Joseph was rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife's favorite guy in The Chosen is Nicodemus, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he was there at that point, was he? Was he there to see the cross?
I don't know if it says.
Yeah. If you get a chance, there's a movie called The Risen. And Risen is about the Roman centurion that was there for this.
Okay.
And him trying to prove what Jesus did. And we'll talk about that. I guess I'll talk about that when I get to the... So then now Jesus is dead. They put him in the tomb. They set a couple of guards in front of it. Jewish guards, not Roman guards, right?
Right.
Jewish guards. Because if there were Roman guards, they're not living through this screw-up.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so they put the rock in. They mark it off. This is a huge rock that they roll in front of the tomb.
Right.
And they put the seal on it.
Yeah, sealed.
Yeah. The two guards are there. Something happens that freaks them out of their minds. And they don't want it. And they get paid off, I think, later not to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're in the tomb, right? And so so it's Friday night. Saturday, Sunday, Easter Monday. They come back and these guys, the stone's rolled away, the body's gone. Mary's there first. She sees the gardener.
Yep.
Right? And the gardener turns out to be an angel. You know, and he says, "What do you want, Mary?" The usual angel thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask you a question that's really stupid.
Yeah.
Like it's really obvious,
yeah,
just so that the story can continue on, right?
Yes.
What is it you want?
Yeah.
Well, they've taken him. Where have they taken him? Right. Oh, and that gardener actually is Jesus.
Yeah, who responds,
Mary. I was thinking he was the angel, but he's not. He's Jesus. Yeah. I really messed that up.
No, no worries. Yeah. No worries. Because all he says is Mary, right? That's all he says to her.
He says Mary, and she goes, "Oh, man, Rabboni, teacher." Yeah. Yeah, it was the angels that freed him. They were there after. But, but yeah, Jesus says to Mary, "Mary." And then she holds him, and he says, "Yeah, don't cling to me because I still have to ascend to the Father."
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a weird little exchange.
Yeah.
Go get Peter and the others. And then she runs to get Peter and the others. And then John says a weird thing. That's where he says, the song goes, you remember we sang the song? They both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead.
Mm-hmm.
He actually wrote in his gospel that that he beat Peter to the tomb. That's where people think they were fairly young guys.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. I know Peter's fabulous, but I was the first to the tomb.
Yeah.
Bent down and Peter just marched right in. Right?
Yeah.
And they found out that the tomb was empty. And there were all kinds of stories at that time floating around. And this is where this risen thing. So the soldier is there and he doesn't know what's happened with this body. He looks for the body. He can't find the body. And they're really worried because they're saying it's going to decay to a point where we can't recognize it. And how will we know it's Jesus? How will we prove that they actually took the body? If you can't find the body, they're going to believe this stuff about the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And how are we going to prove otherwise?
Mm-hmm.
And the Roman centurion is going through this, and he actually runs into Jesus and the disciples. And toward the end, he's like, he becomes a believer, of course, at the end. He's like, wow, this thing is real.
Yeah.
This thing is real. This is crazy. This is just crazy stuff. So the stories go around and there's different stories, right? The gardener took the body. The other story was the disciples took the body.
Mm-hmm.
They think they paid off the guards. And so these different stories came around. But the disciples saw Jesus that Monday night. They were in the room and Jesus came in. And he was with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Yeah.
Which I did my master's thesis on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to talk about what actually happened. Remember, we talked about that once
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me what actually happened, Steve.
Well, did Didn't the Holy Spirit just come on them like a little?
Yeah, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Little pieces of fire, right? Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, that's Acts.
That's Acts. Sorry, I'm confusing that with Acts. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. You're talking to a Pentecostal. Don't mess that stuff up on us, man. We know our infilling stuff. So anyway, and the disciples then the thing is, Jesus is now raised, right? And he sees the two on the road to Emmaus, and all of these different events start happening.
Yeah.
And so he died on a cross, and those were the events. And now he's risen again, and he's with them for 40 days. He comes and goes for 40 days.
Yeah.
He comes and goes. And then he heads up to the final ascension.
Yeah.
So people call that the ascension. I kind of think he was with the Father all the time during that period.
Mm.
When he wasn't with them, he was with the Father.
Yeah.
I think that. And you get the resurrected body, this new body that Jesus has. He can walk right into the room through a locked door.
Yeah.
And yet he can eat.
Yeah.
We're going to eat. I think we're going to eat whatever we want in heaven, Steve. Anything we want. And it won't be that Luca fish stuff.
Yeah.
It'll be something else. So,
yeah. I always find it interesting, too, that there is nothing recorded about those 40 days.
No. It just said he kind of came to them once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so very little during that period of time. My father-in-law thinks, and I think this is valid, that was a period of time for him to let them get used to the fact that the Holy Spirit was going to be guiding them now and not him.
Mm. Okay. I get you.
And I don't know. Yeah. But I do believe he was with the Father every time, because I don't know what he was doing otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, hiding in the corner and waiting for another opportunity to come out. So the biggest thing about the resurrection is that thing that we said before about Chuck Colson, is why do I believe the resurrection happened? And Chuck Colson was one of the really high up people in the American government when Nixon Nixon was impeached.
Yeah.
And Chuck Colson said those 12 people lived with their belief that Jesus rose again, and they all, and most of them died for that belief that Jesus rose again.
Yeah.
And he said when Nixon thing happened, he said we were tripping over ourselves to tell what was going on. Yeah. You know the old story.
Yeah.
If three people have a secret, how do you keep it?
Yeah.
You kill two of them. and those 12 people never wavered from that belief after Jesus rose.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. The most important thing in history.
Yes.
And so the worst day ever was Good Friday. The most necessary day ever was Good Friday.
Yeah.
And there's a cartoon by, it's called BC.
Yep.
And you gotta, if you Google BC and you go Good Friday cartoon, it's I love this cartoon. It's the one caveman sitting there. Of course, it's a caveman, so it's way before Jesus. So that doesn't work, but that's okay. The one guy sitting there and he's going, I hate this day. I can't stand that they call it Good Friday. And he said, the other guy says, well, why? He says, because that's the day that Jesus died. They hanged him, he said. And he said, so if you were supposed to be hanged and someone stepped in and took your place, how would you feel? What would you call that? He said, that would be good. He said, have a nice day. And he walks away.
Yes.
And I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
He died for us.
Yeah.
And then he rose again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to die. We're going to rise again. Believe it or not.
Yeah. And we do. We hold to that truth. We hold to that truth. I remember Tony Campolo said it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. He said,
"Oh, wasn't that a great sermon?"
Yeah. Yeah. Quoted that black pastor from Philadelphia. It's Friday.
Yeah.
But Sunday is coming.
Yeah. And he just keeps going through all the events of Friday.
Yeah.
But Sunday's coming.
Yeah. My friend, that was good. It was great. It's a great reminder that this is the culmination of our faith in that one event. And then everything is the outworking of that event in our lives. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what Revelation's talking about. It's just the outworking of God's plan. My friend, thanks. Thanks for doing that for us. We hope that as you celebrate Easter this weekend, assuming that you're listening to it on Easter weekend. If not, we hope that you had a wonderful Easter weekend. But as you celebrate Easter weekend and think about that death on a cross, that you're thankful and that you know Jesus as your God and Lord and Savior. Folks, we'll be back in a week's time. And until then, I'll be Steve and he'll be Larry. And this was the Apocalypse Podcast.